Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you for the last time today about Amy Carmichael. I mean, this is the last time I'm going to be talking about Amy Carmichael. It certainly won't be the last time that I'm talking to you. But I feel that it's been a great privilege for me to tell you about this woman whose life has had such a tremendous, incalculable impact on my own. Let me suggest that you get your hands on every book written by Amy Carmichael that you can possibly find. Out of the 40 books that she wrote, only 14 are still in print. You might find some of the older ones in secondhand bookstores. But those that are in print are available from the Christian Literature Crusade in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. I've been reading to you selections from a number of her books. The little book called If is a book about Calvary love. It was written when she was searching her own heart because of having to dismiss a fellow worker. It gave her great pain, and rather than blame that person, she was asking the Lord, "Is it my fault, Lord? Is it I?" And then it was as if the Lord almost dictated to her each sentence of the book. She doesn't claim that it's divinely inspired. And the book ends with these words, "If this were the last time I could speak to you, I would say just these words, Beloved, let us love. Oh, let us love. We perish if we do not love. Let us love." The characteristic that people always mentioned as most outstanding in the life of Amy Carmichael was love. I've read hundreds, perhaps even thousands, of the little love notes that she wrote to her beloved children and beloved fellow workers there in the Donavur Fellowship of South India. And she wrote this poem, "Before the winds that blow do cease, teach me to dwell within thy calm. Before the pain has passed in peace, give me, my God, to sing a psalm. Let me not lose the chance to prove the fullness of an enabling love. O love of God, do this for me. Maintain a constant victory." Her doctor, Dr. Nancy Robbins, who was one of her doctors along with Dr. May Pohl, told me that Amy Carmichael never complained. She said she was reluctant to discuss her symptoms with anyone, even with her doctor, which, of course, presented some difficulties for poor May and Nancy, both of whom are still alive and well in England. Heat and sleeplessness added to her pain. Sometimes the Indians who cared for her would be asked to read scripture, and some of those whom I met told me that they would read scripture by the hour. Sometimes they would take dictation when she was unable to sit up and use a pencil. And I think how many lessons they must have learned sitting there in that room of peace, taking down dictation from Amy Carmichael herself. And they must have learned all sorts of lessons that they could not otherwise have learned. We're talking about the sovereignty of God and the mystery of pain. I'm sure that God had lessons to teach those who worked with her and for her, as well as me and thousands of others who have been blessed by her books. She wrote to one of the members of the family a note to be put into the box that was to be kept until after she died. This is what she said. "I don't want you to become so wrapped up in the work of this room," she went on. This was written to one of the women who was nursing her. "I don't want you to become so wrapped up in the work of this room that when it is empty, you will feel your life is empty. So don't think of me ever in a way which would make it too hard if you had not me to help. Think of yourself as belonging first to your Lord, and then to all, servant of all. Never, never let any human love come first. Then she wrote words of encouragement for discouraging days, strong words for those who were lonely. And almost every letter that I have seen followed a similar pattern. These letters that were put into the box to be read after she died. She would begin by thanking the Lord for this individual, for his or her gifts, memories of how that child had come to Donavor, heartening words to help them toward faith and hope, and beyond everything else, they were words of love. Her prayer for her children is one that I have memorized and often pray for my grandchildren. Father, hear us, we are praying. Hear the words our hearts are saying. We are praying for our children. Keep them from the powers of evil, from the secret hidden peril, from the whirlpool that would suck them, from the treacherous quicksand, pluck them, from the worldling's hollow gladness, from the sting of faithless sadness. Holy Father, save our children. Through life's troubled waters, steer them. Through life's bitter battle, cheer them. Father, Father, be thou near them. Read the language of our longing. Read the wordless pleadings thronging, Holy Father, for our children. And wherever they may bide, lead them home at eventide. She wrote the book Rose from Briar in the form of letters to others who were suffering, a book that would not have gotten written if she had not had to suffer herself. She was stripped one by one of those on whom she had counted most heavily to take over the work. The two Webb Peplow brothers, Godfrey and Murray, had to leave. One of them died, and the other one had to go back to England. And one after another, those on whom she had counted died. I've told you about Ponnamal and Arulai. Then one day when she was over 80, she had a bad fall in the bathroom. And from that time on, she was even more incapacitated and in greater pain than ever before. To one of her nurses, Allison Wiggins, whom I met in New Zealand, she said, "When you hear that I've gone, jump for joy." On the wall of my study in Massachusetts, where I live, is a brass Celtic cross. It has on it IHS, the initials for the Latin words in this sign, a shortened form of the motto, "In this sign, conquer." This brass cross used to belong to Amy Carmichael. It was given to me by a missionary who told me that when she was in such great pain that she could no longer pray or read her Bible, she would ask to be given that cross, and she would hold it in her hands. Think of those words, "In this sign, conquer." I remember also the motto on the wall, with large letters on the wall of her room where I sat when I was working on her biography. It said, "I know, fear not." In January of 1951, she began to sleep a great deal. Finally, she went into a coma. It was then that many of the children who had never once seen her face, because she had been isolated for so long in her room, were allowed to come and see her for the first time as she was in a coma. One of her co-workers read to her John Bunyan's description of the Pilgrim's Welcome, taken from Pilgrim's Progress. "Now, while they were thus drawing towards the gates, behold, a company of the heavenly host came out to meet them, to whom it was said by the other two shining ones, 'These are the men that have loved our Lord when they were in the world, and that have forsaken all for his holy name. And he hath sent us to fetch them, and we have brought them thus far on their desired journey, that they may go in and look their Redeemer in the face with joy.' Then the heavenly host gave a great shout, saying, 'Blessed are they, that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now I saw in my dream that these two men went in at the gate, and lo, as they entered, they were transfigured, and they had raiment put on that shone like gold. There were also that met them with harps and crowns, and gave them to them, the harps to praise withal, and the crowns in token of honor. Then I heard in my dream that all the bells in the city rang again for joy, and that it was said unto them, Enter ye into the joy of your Lord. And so Amy Carmichael entered into the joy of the Lord on January the 18th, 1951, age 83. They played on the bells from the house of prayer, the music to the words that she had written, One thing have I desired, my God, of thee, that will I seek, thine house be home to me. So ended a life which has been the instrument of peace to countless thousands of people, including me. Amy Carmichael, Irish missionary to India, author of 40 books. Please get your hands on any of them that you possibly can. 14 of them are still in print. These are fitting words, I think, to close the story that I've been telling you. Her poem, Father of Spirits, this my sovereign plea I bring again and yet again to thee. Fulfill me now with love that I may know a daily inflow, daily overflow. For love, my Lord, was crucified. With cords of love he bound me to his side. Pour through me now. I give myself to thee, O love, that led my Lord to Calvary.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.